please. Service, please. Many of you have probably experienced this week as you've gone into a place of business, either poor service from the employees or very good service or maybe mediocre service. One of the things that draws us to a place of business is good service. We've been hearing about service this morning. I told my daughter sitting next to me, they stole my message. I said, guess we can go home. Billy talked about service. Ron talked about service. Thank you. Thank you for helping and aiding the message. You know, we have needs that need to be met when we find a place of business where people are attentive to us, where people are concerned about our needs, and where people are willing to serve us. We want to go to that place again and again. Now, I'm going to cite this example this morning. I did not ask this person if I could use it. But if you've ever been to Tri-Central Office Supply to get office supplies, you know that my daughter Trish works there. I have heard from her employers that she is very, very good with people. One of the ladies who is in her employer said that even on days when Trish is gone and people come in for business and they ask for Trish, they find out that she's out of town for a couple of days. They say, I'll just wait till she comes back. She knows what they want, and she visits with the people. She has the kind of personality that a lot of the people are attracted to when they enter Tri-Central because she gives good service. Even to the point, this summer when she was going through a divorce, several of her customers came in, and when they found that out, they offered to pray with her right there on the job. She was serving others, and they in turn served her. You know, service is a lost art in many cases in America. Many people who have jobs and work in certain businesses really don't have the spirit of service. They're only working for a paycheck. Well, let's talk about service. The dictionary says that service is useful labor that does not produce a tangible commodity. Or service is a function of serving. We know that. Well, the word serve just means to be a servant or to be useful. Jesus says in this passage of Scripture that the way up is down. The way to promotion is to be a servant. Listen to what he says in Matthew 20, verses 25 and 26. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Now, the thing that precipitated this discussion was the mother of James and John asked Jesus if her two sons, James and John, could sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. I think she had a lot of gall. Now, I love my daughter, but I don't think I would say anything like that. And this is what Jesus said. He knew that this wasn't right. These people were thinking of higher up stuff. They were thinking of grandeur. And that's not what his ministry was about. That's not what the gospel was about. It was about serving. So this is what he said. The rulers of the Gentiles were lorded over other people, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, Jesus said, you must be your servant. Now, what's he saying? He's saying that with unbelievers, those who have authority lord it over people. Those who have authority put great premium on their own importance. But he's saying that this is not going to be what makes you great in God's kingdom. In Matthew 23:11, Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." So what Jesus is saying, I think, is quite clear. If we're followers of him, we will serve. We will be a servant. Now, some objections people may have of serving in the church or at work or in the community may be that I don't know enough. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." God, through his Holy Spirit, will give us everything that we need if we want to serve. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. And verse 17 says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's through God's word that we are trained. Right here, this is our manual. This will teach us about God and what he wants us to do. If you want to know God better, spend time in his word. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul tells the people at Ephesus, he says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I like the Message translation in this verse also. It says, he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work that he's gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. From this passage in Ephesians, it makes it quite clear, I think, that we ought to be serving, doing those good works that God wants us to do. Maybe you're thinking, well, what would I do, or what could I do? Well, 1 Peter 4:10, which Billy shared in her children's message this morning, said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Now, there's been all kinds of tests and experiments to help one determine his or her gifts. Many times, however, we learn these gifts because of the opportunities that have been given us. Perhaps you've been asked to teach a class or give a lesson. Perhaps people sat next to you and heard you sing. Now, Camilla's not here this morning, but a number of years ago, she sat behind me a couple Sundays in a row, and I heard her voice. Is she here? Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't see you over there. Anyway, this is nothing bad, Camilla. Now that I saw you, maybe I shouldn't say it. No, it's nothing bad. I heard Camilla singing, and I turned around and I said, you ought to be up in the praise and worship team. A couple Sundays later, there she was. They had asked her to be a part of the praise and worship team. And she's been there for several years now. Thank you, Camilla, for your service. What are you good at? But first and foremost, we need to love God and want to serve him. Maybe he will ask us to do something we think we aren't good at. Could it be that God sees in us something that we haven't recognized ourselves? I think that is more than likely to be the case. I was so glad when I read in the bulletin that Lizzie and Kira were going to do children's church this morning, because I thought back and thought, you know, when I was 16 years old, when I was a senior in high school, the Sunday school superintendent of our local church asked me to teach the first grade boys class. Now, I look back and I think I could do a much better job now, I think, that I really didn't do a very good job with those boys. I didn't have any training. I was not experienced at all, but it gave me an opportunity to study, and it gave me an opportunity to learn patience with these little sixth grade boys. Well, the first time I was asked to be presider up here at Hayes Christian Church by John McElwee, an elder, a number of years ago, I reacted. Who, me, John? Well, I did it. Then a couple years later, when asked if I would preach one Sunday, and I found out that none of the elders who were usually doing the preaching were going to be here, I thought, who, me? Well, I agreed to do it, but I had a little fear and trembling when in walked, a little bit late that Sunday morning, they usually weren't late, but in walked Steve and Joanne Trammell. And Steve had often preached, and I was kind of filled with some fear and trepidation. Not that Steve ever gave anybody the idea that he was better than anybody else, but I thought that he really knew God's word, and he was an excellent orator. I've always appreciated his messages. Well, I have learned to pray, dear Lord, please help me to recognize opportunities to serve when they arise. Because there have been times when I look back and think, oh, Betty, you couldn't have done this. You couldn't help that person. You couldn't have done this. So now my prayer is, help me to recognize those opportunities when they arise. For example, mentoring younger women. It was just something I never thought about until some young women at different times asked if they could come out to the house and visit with me about something that was on their minds. If this is what God wanted, I had to adjust my schedule those days and make time for these women. Paul wrote to the Galatians, in Galatians 5:13, he said, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." We talked a little bit about freedom in our Sunday school class this morning, that we are free in Christ, but we need to use that freedom for His glory and not just for ourselves. Also, in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 12:24, Samuel says, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all of your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you." I think that's a great motivating factor, don't you? Consider what great things He has done for you. And that helps us to want to serve Him. Oftentimes it means changing our schedule or stepping out of our comfort zone. But all of the time we should want to serve Him when we consider what all He has done for us. I'm so grateful to live in America with all its faults and sins. I'm very grateful to have been raised in a Christian home with parents. In spite of having 6 children to feed and to clothe in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, they served the Lord faithfully in the church and in the community. When I look back at my parents, many of the things that I think about are the things that they were reaching out and helping other people. Perhaps you think, well, what else could I do? I'm already very, very tired. Well, I want to share with you just a little, very short paragraph in the book, My Utmost for His Highest. I use this in my devotional time sometimes, by Oswald Chambers. And he's talking about being tired physically and spiritually. He says, if you spend yourself out physically, you become exhausted. We all know what that's about, don't we? But spend yourself spiritually, and you get more strength. Now, that's not according to logic, is it? Now, I didn't teach logic at the university like Steve did, but maybe you can help me on this. If you spend yourself out physically, you become exhausted. But spend yourself spiritually, and you get more strength. God never gives strength for tomorrow, or even for the next hour, but only for the strain of the minute. The temptation is to face difficulties from a common sense standpoint. The saint is hilarious when he is crushed with difficulties because the thing is so ludicrously impossible to anyone but God. And I can vouch for that. One time, a number of years ago, when my parents were still living and had retired and lived in Florida, I was asked to speak for a group. And the evening before, I got a terrible migraine headache. I used to get those maybe. I just had to be in a room that was dark, with no noise, no food, nothing. And I was supposed to speak the next morning. And I got up still feeling pretty lousy, not quite as bad as I did the day before. The mother said, "Do you still feel like speaking?" And I said, "Not right now, but I can't say no at the last minute." I said, "I'm just praying that God will help me through it." So it was at a breakfast, and I sat at the head table. If you ever had a migraine, kind I had, you know when they serve the food and sit down in front of you, you don't want to be around it. Some of you are nodding your head, you know what I'm talking about. The smell of the food is just really nauseating. I had to get up and leave the table. And they said, "Are you all right?" And I thought, "I just have a little headache and kind of nauseous to smell the food." So they just moved that food. Well, of course, both people on each side had food. It didn't help a whole lot. But I just left the room for a few minutes. And then closer it got to the time for me to speak, I returned to the room. And when this Oswald Chambers says, the Lord doesn't give you any strength the next hour, but at the minute, I can vouch for that, because it came time for me to get up and speak. My pain in my head was gone. I was able to speak like I always do. And on the way home, I got a little pain back again. Not as bad as it was, but I got a little pain. So the Lord provided the strength and during that strain, he gave me the strength for that hour of speaking. Well, within an hour, 25, 30 minutes maybe. Henry Blackaby said in his book, Experiencing God, you never find God asking persons to dream up what they want to do for him. Without doubt, the most important factor in each biblical situation was not what the individual wanted to do for God. The most important factor was what God was about to do. He adds, God reveals his purpose so you will know what he plans to do. When God came to Noah, God did not ask, Noah, what do you want to do for me? No, he came to reveal what he was about to do with Noah. It was far more important to know what God was about to do. It really did not matter exactly right then what Noah had planned to do for God. When we answer an opportunity that God has placed before us, we know that he wants our lights to shine so men will see our good works and what? Pat us on the back? Increase our paycheck? Although that might be helpful. No. He wants our lights to shine so that our good works will show and glorify our Father in heaven. So we say, God, I love you, and I'll serve you where and when you want. Now, some of you have answered him by teaching in Kingdom Kids, Sunday School, VBS, preaching, teaching, presiding, cleaning, preparing, and serving communion. The list goes on and on. When willing, the list is endless. And Paul suggests that we should always be zealous for the Lord. Always be zealous. Excuse me. Paul suggests in Romans 12:11, he says, you should never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Bishop J.S. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, England, wrote on the subject of zeal, and this is what he said. Zeal is a burning desire to please God, to do his will, to advance his glory in the world in every possible way. A zealous man is preeminently a man of one thing. He is more than earnest, hearty, uncompromising, wholehearted, and fervent in spirit. He sees only one thing, lives for one thing, and that one thing is to please God. Whether he has health or sickness, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's thought wise or foolish or gets the blame or the praise, he yearns for one thing, to please God. Such a one will always find a sphere for his zeal. If he cannot preach, he will work and give money. He will cry, and he will sigh and pray. If he cannot fight in the valley with Joshua, he will hold up the hands of Moses until the battle is won, if you remember that story from the Old Testament. Someone else said, as God changes your heart, you be willing to change your plans. I don't know about you, but I suspect that we all could take inventory. We probably could all take inventory of our priorities, and we could ask God, oh Lord, help me to have more zeal to please you every way and in every day. You know, I heard quite some time ago, and I like the little phrase, Christianity is not for sissies. If we are going to be yielded completely and serve him every day in every way, that's not a job for a sissy, is it? We're not just talking about serving here at Hayes Christian Church, but at home and in the community as our time allows. Let's think about the time that we spend on our computer. Do my emails glorify God? What do I put on Facebook, Twitter? One woman a while back said to me that she saw some of the things a man had put on Facebook concerning Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to get into politics, don't worry. But she said, as she told me this, she said, he goes to your church, doesn't he? I was embarrassed to admit that he did. Let me tell you about my nephew, Jeff. He owns and operates the Denver School of Photography in Colorado. He's visited our service a couple of times. Jeff told me that when he interviews a person for a job, whether it be a teacher for one of his classes, a receptionist, even a publicity person, when he interviews them, then he goes on Facebook to see if they are on Facebook, and he reads what they have put there. And if it's anything diminishing character at all, that name goes off his list of prospective employees. About the computer and Facebook, do I take time from my employer to send messages on Facebook? Would that be robbing your employer of time? My husband and I were in business and owned and operated that business for 25 years. We didn't have a computer then. I'm probably glad, because I might have had to call some of the employees. Is that work you're doing for Rutgers EMO covered? I don't know. I'm glad I didn't have to handle it. We're talking about serving God every day in every way. How about at home? Do I serve God by the way that I treat my wife? Scott, I didn't ask if I could use you as an example this morning, but he did something wonderful this week, and I have to share it. It was Marcy's birthday, and Scott cleaned the house from top to bottom for his wife's birthday. Isn't that a neat gift? I said, you know, women really appreciate that. And he said, well, we usually share the responsibilities. But he said, but I did it all this time for her. And you know, this man just had hip replacement a couple weeks ago. So he's pretty sore today from going up and down the stairs and dragging that vacuum sweeper. But I think that just shows real service and love for his wife. That's what I asked. Do I serve God by the way I treat my wife, my husband, my children? Do I serve God by the way I take care of my body, the way I eat, and feed my family? How about the amount of sleep I get? Am I serving God by the way I use my time, about caring for my body, by exercising rather than being a couch potato, which will perhaps lead to some kind of illness as we get older? Even something as simple is a walk outdoors. Did you know that scientists have concluded that nature acts as a kind of multivitamin, enhancing the body's immune function, shoring up cell function, and relaxing one's entire body to repair it to fight disease? God's plan is so superior to ours. No wonder many of my friends who garden say it is therapeutic, and they feel so much better after spending time outdoors working or walking. Paul says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. You know, there's been a song that's been going on in my mind, and I don't know if I can sing this phrase or not, but the phrase is, we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. Casting Crowns sings it, Thrive. And that phrase keeps going on in my mind. We were made for so much more than ordinary lives. Christians aren't supposed to be just ordinary people. With that in mind, let's look at some biblical examples of people who served the Lord. Starting with the Old Testament, Noah in Genesis 6 served God by building the ark, despite laughter and ridicule from his neighbors. Can you imagine his neighbors? Ha ha! Noah, what are you doing out there? Building the boat on this dry land? Laughing and ridiculing him. Hey, Mrs. Noah, what's with your husband? He must have lost a few marbles. Noah kept on proceeding and following God's will. David in 2 Samuel served God and ruled over Israel for over 40 years, despite being a shepherd boy. God said in 2 Samuel 8, I took you, David, from the pasture, and from leading the flock of sheep to be ruler over my people, Israel. God can use us in a way we at one time thought was impossible. I think when we think about the story of David, there's a lot about David in the Bible. We hear about him being king of Israel, and we think of this this wonderful king, and he was a godly man, but also we think of his weaknesses, his jealousy, his adultery. He had someone murdered, and yet the scriptures tell us that David was a man after God's own heart. It was in the line of David that Jesus Christ was born. You know, that just gives hope for you and I. We don't have to think we have to be perfect people to serve God, because we don't. If we had to be perfect people, none of us would be here. It was a servant girl mentioned in 2 Kings 5. She was concerned about Naaman, who was a great army commander. Naaman had leprosy. The girl was a servant to Naaman's wife. So she told Mrs. Naaman that her husband should go and see the prophet in Samaria to be healed. That servant girl had to be brave to serve and follow God's leading, to interfere in her mistress's married life when her master and mistress were not believers in the God of Israel. But Naaman did that after some doubt and so on. He did finally follow through, and he was healed of his leprosy. And from that time on, he said that he was going to offer sacrifices and worship the true God of Israel because of this girl serving God like she was supposed to. I want to mention Aquila and Priscilla, found in the New Testament. They were tent makers. They were tent makers along with the Apostle Paul. And they served God by showing hospitality to Paul while he was in Corinth, as recorded in Acts 8. There's one other thing I want to mention from the New Testament. Lydia, a woman, believed in God, and she came to believe in Jesus through Paul's preaching at Philippi. In Acts 16, it says that Lydia served God and showed hospitality to Paul and his companions by persuading them to stay at her house while they were in Philippi. This last week, I thought of some people in today's world who set an example by serving God. Cynthia Heald is speaker and author of the book Simplicity, which is the book that our church women, Phoebeans, is using for lessons this year. Mrs. Heald encourages women to simplify their lives so they can feel fulfilled and serve God wholeheartedly. Lisa Ingram is another one who serves God. She serves the Lord as wife and president and wife of the president of Manhattan Christian College. But she also was the Lakeview Women's Retreat speaker last spring, who encouraged women to serve. As someone that we support through finances and prayer, Catherine Rhodes has served at the Puerto Rico Christian School for many years as a teacher and principal, and now even as a retiree, she continues to help with the school. Laura Denny serves by filling us in on Catherine's service when she gives her mission report, as Scott did this morning about the Shragi. One last example I want to mention is Matt Proctor. He serves God as president of Ozark Christian College, but also as a great orator of God's Word. One person in the Christian Standard just this last month mentioned about Matt. He said, Matt is an incredibly gifted communicator, and he uses that to spread God's Word. The last one I was going to mention, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. It would be wonderful if I could include them on this list, but I chose to refrain, lest half of you make a quick exit. Well, they say every message should have a little humor. Well, that's mine for today. Service, please. That's how I began my message today. It makes me wonder how first-time visitors react to service here at Hayes Christian Church. I don't necessarily mean the worship service itself, but that is important too. I mean service from you and me. Do they see us loving God and serving Him to the best of our ability? Do we extend ourselves to make them feel welcome? Do we speak to them other than the greeting time? If they are searching for a Bible in front of them, do we help them find one? Do we noisily eat a snack from a noisy paper wrapper and then crunch the paper, hindering others from hearing the message? I didn't make this up. I actually saw it when at a church service one time. The lady and the child next to her sat there eating and emptied the wrapper and crunched it all up. I wanted to tap them on the shoulder, but I refrained. But I thought, How do others see us serving God wholeheartedly? I consider it a rare and special opportunity to share a biblical command with you this morning by serving as your messenger. I think it's a wonderful privilege to help all of us broaden our view of serving. As I'm drawing my message to a close, I want to share this story. John W. Gardner is the founding chairman of an organization called Common Cause. He said it's rare and a privilege to help people understand the difference that they can make, not only in their own lives, but also in the lives of others, simply by giving of themselves, by serving. And this is the story that he told. Gardner tells of a cheerful old man who asked the same question of just about every new acquaintance that he fell into conversation with. This was the question. What have you done that you believe in and you are proud of? He never asked the conventional questions, such as, what do you do for a living? Or, how are you today? It was, what have you done that you believe in and are proud of? It was an unsettling question for people who had built their self-esteem on their wealth, or their family name, or their exalted job title. Not that the old man was a fierce interrogator, for he was delighted by one woman who said, I'm trying to do a good job raising my three children. And by a cabinet maker who said, I believe in good workmanship and I practice it. And by another woman who said, I started a bookstore and it's the best bookstore for miles around. I really don't care how they answer, said the old man. I just want to put the question in their minds. They should live their lives in such a way that they have a good answer for themselves. Not a good answer for me. That's what's important. Even more important than that, folks, I think I would add this, that we need to have a good answer for God, and at the end of each day, we can imagine God saying to us, well done.
You've been listening to Betty Rep at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.